Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Good morning and welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly with my good friend Robert Rutherford. Would you please welcome him? And for those of you that are watching this on the YouTube channel, we're doing this live at Metron at Landmark's Midtown Cinema. And let me just tell you a little bit about this guy. We have been friends for 36 years. There's no way to tell you all that our lives have been through together and in tandem. We've gone through periods where we were more in contact, less in contact, but we always knew where the other one was. We would have never, how many times have we had the conversation, can you believe we're here now, and at such complete different places in our life? And these long-term, you know, I'm a long-term relationship guy. A lot of people don't realize that because in church world, you have people coming and going so much. But for my real relationships, I'm old school. I go, I talk to people every day that I went to elementary school with. I mean, when I connect with you, I believe in it. If you check out for me, that's on you. But I'm faithful, and Robert's faithful as well. You say hello to everybody, and then I'll tell you what we're going to talk about today.
I can't. There's no words to say how honored I am to be here. For 35 years, this guy has made me feel like I was somebody. Even during the times when I wasn't anybody, or I thought I wasn't somebody, or I was acting like I was nobody, he still made me feel like I was somebody. And I knew that all I had to do was make the drive to Atlanta or Conyers or whatever it took to get across a Waffle House table or in a front row seat at the most amazing church I've ever been to, or at a sushi bar or a bar, or wherever I could meet this guy. And whatever I thought about myself changed because he projected his positivity and his confidence into my spirit in such a way that no other human has ever done. And I hate that. I really hate. I hate feeling good about myself. And you've ruined my life. And I can't tell you how much I love you. And I appreciate you saying that you have friends. And then there's me. So if someone asks you if we're friends, you could actually say no.
That's right.
So we always say, yes, good. We're way more than friends. Thank you for being my brother. You're the brother I never had, and you've helped me more than any human, except possibly my husband back there and maybe my daughter and me. But thank you so much for your influence in my life. The greatest compliments I ever receive when I'm teaching, whenever my flow is, wow, you sound just like Bishop Swilly. That's a great compliment. Best communicator I've ever met in my life right here, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Well, I'm glad you used the word husband because a lot of people don't know it, but I actually performed a ceremony for these guys in Piedmont Park two years ago now, right? And they have a very interesting story about even what they're doing now. Robert is a true builder. He doesn't know how not to build. And when I built stuff, but I wasn't hands-on like he is. When he builds stuff, he's actually hands-on with it. Literally built a, it's like a little city over there in Waco where his oldest son is the pastor now, and that's, you know, part of Robert's legacy. But where they are now, they're building, I don't know how much you can say about what it is you're building, but we'll have a moment to say that. Let me get into the subject today, and I want to tell you why you are uniquely qualified to discuss this with me. The scripture I want to use is 2 Corinthians, it's the last part of chapter 3, verse 6. King James says, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Let me show it to you in the International Standard Version. It says, who has also qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant, which is not written, but spiritual, because the written text brings death. This is important because when you say the Elizabethan English, the letter, that's not a word that we use, so people don't, in our world, don't really understand what he's saying here. But Paul is basically, he's basically telling them not to have a Bible, is what he's saying. He's saying as soon as this revelation gets written down, it can bring death. So he says the written text brings death, but the Spirit gives life. And then I want to show it to you in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, same passage. It says, not of the letter or not pertaining to the result of that which is written down, not having its source in the effect of a written text, but in contrast of a breath effect or pertaining to the result of the Spirit, having its source in and being the effect of spirit and attitude. Look at this. For the effect of the letter habitually kills, or the result of writing something into a text repeatedly puts away in death. Yet the spirit, or the spirit, the breath effect, the attitude continuously gives life or repeatedly makes life, progressively forms life, or habitually creates life. I actually saw somebody post this about a year ago on Facebook. They were having some argument, and they said, well, God's plan was to give us a book we could live by. And I thought, wow, that's your concept of God? That was God's plan? God really aimed low. You know what I mean? It wasn't to be creative. It was to give us a rule book. And people were just saying, that's right, he sure did. It's all about that book. There is a word for it. It's called bibliolatry. And it's rampant today. Let me tell you why I wanted to discuss this with you. I just saw Scott and Lindsay and James and Mance coming. This is baby day today. That's another miracle. There's so many miracles around here. So glad y'all are here.
They're going to let me adopt those babies, I think.
They're so cute.
They're so cute.
Anyway, let me tell you why I wanted to talk about this. And I refer to this scripture a lot. When I first met you years ago, in our first conversation, I was married at the time. You looked at me and you said, you're going to have a son in August. August of next year. I said, what? That was like in your opening statement. So I counted it up. I said, well, that would mean my wife is pregnant right now. And you said, she is. And I said, I don't think so. You said, yes, she is. Jared was born August 8th, 1983. I have two firstborn sons. I was married twice, and I had two firstborn sons. And so the second time I was married, Debbie and I thought we were having a girl. You've heard me tell this before. We had two sonograms, both of which said, this is a girl. Her name was going to be Elizabeth something. We didn't have a boy's name picked out even, because they were so sure. And I talked to Robert, and he says, you're going to have a boy in August. I said, no, they're saying girl September 9th.
Sex change.
Edit that out, BJ. And I said, we've had two sonograms, and they're adamant about it. And he said, I'm telling you, if it's the last day of August, it'll be a boy. So they were showing, every summer I go to all the old movies at the Fox, and they were showing Ben-Hur, and we were sitting there in the front row, and I said, look, I told Debbie, I said, Robert says we're having a boy in August, and if we do, I'm naming him Judah Benjamin, just so you know, because every time they would say Judah Ben-Hur. Well, Judah was born August 31st, and those are just two things that I could sit here and fill up the entire time telling you things that Robert has said to me. I know a lot of prophets. I've known a lot of prophets. He's probably the most accurate one I've ever met. Wow. And so I know you know the Spirit. I also remember some years later, I don't know if I'm sure you'll remember this, but I was teaching for Norval Hayes up in Cleveland, Tennessee, and you and John Alexander came up, and the three of us literally sit up all night long and talk about Revelation. I can't tell you the times we've watched the sun come up while we're just talking about Revelation. But we would also push the envelope more than we could preach to our conversations. And I remember you saying one time, you said, but really, isn't the Bible just a series of letters written by a man that I'm not even sure those guys would consider them the Word of God? And I was like, Robert, shut up. Like, don't ever say that again. I remember that this is how far we've evolved. I said, no, don't ever say that, because once you ever lose that authority of the Word of God, then the rest of it starts unraveling. But I knew when you said it, I thought, well, that is kind of what even they said about their stuff, which is what Paul said, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you're a Facebook friend of Robert's, you see he's prolific. He's outrageous. He says out loud things that other people are only thinking. But you say a lot about why people are so addicted to the letter and why they ignore the Spirit so much. As recently as last week, I had somebody that I've known for nearly as long as I've known you. Used to be my next door neighbor. Used to be a care pastor at church. And then now that posts on Ken's page about what Leviticus said about two men being together. I don't know if you ever read that. Did you know that was in Leviticus?
That's in the Bible?
I have never read that. It's only been cut and pasted to me 10,000 times in the last 7 years.
We're through.
But it didn't hurt my feelings. I just thought, why after all these years, why now? You couldn't possibly think that I don't know that verse. So what is it? What is this addiction with the letter that people just want to put it on you one more time? I can't figure it out. Do you have any idea what happens in people's minds and why they're so addicted to it? Tell me.
It's kind of like folks that can't really have sex and they get a blow-up doll. The blow-up doll is like the
Thank
Bible.
You for coming. Really? You went right to blow-up doll.
Well, okay. I was going to wade in slowly, but I saw four.
He just went right there.
Well, I saw four naked breasts on the artist's bookshelf.
They were tatas.
Tatas. So I felt the liberty just to jump right in there to all the Freudian pictures that we
Those get. Of you, thank no, you for coming to Metron.
To me, the difference in the Bible and the Spirit, I mean, the word is us. The living Word is us. And I'm not doubting much of what you read in the Bible was the living Word for them in their culture, in their day, at that time, in that moment. It was a revelation from their Jewish God to them. It was life. It was wonderful. But to write it down, and then thousands of years later, it means nothing to me. It's the difference in having sex with a blow-up doll and a person. There's no fruit that's going to come from it whatsoever. You might get some satisfaction from it, but there's no fruit coming from this union, and you have to figure that out up front. And you'll notice my daughter was carrying a Bible when we came up here. You know, Robbie Joe makes me listen to praise and worship music, and she carries a Bible around now. So it's like I have this.
You married a Christian.
I have this counterweight balance in my life that is helping me because I do love the book. Right. I do appreciate the book. I read the book daily. I dig in there and I find truth. I hear God's voice in it and in many other sources as well. So I do honor and respect it. But it's just tradition. The only thing, of course, Jesus said that can make the power of the Word of God of none effect is men's traditions. And how odd that God would pick a book to express himself to humanity, and since over 2/3 of humanity either never saw it or could not read it if they saw it.
Wow.
So how dumb is that? I mean, if you go to all of the countries, all the nations of the world that ever existed, over 2/3 could either not read or they never laid eyes on a Bible. So what a ridiculous, dumb thing and way to express yourself to humanity. But we all have spirit. We all have that tuner inside of us that can tune in at any time to the life-giving source, to God, light, energy, the universe. Call that force, that power, whatever you want to, but it's the same. It's omnipotent. Energy never dies. It just changes forms. It goes on and on and on forever. It's like God. It's omniscient. It's everywhere, all-knowing. It's wherever you are, whatever century you live in, then that energy is there on the inside of you. And it was on the inside of a lot of those guys that wrote in that book.
Don't you think those men would be horrified to see the way people in the 21st century have created this idol out of it? And even when they themselves would say, we know in part, we prophesy in part. And yet, like Paul would say things like, I'm just saying this is my opinion, this is not the word of the Lord. He would specifically say, I'm not even saying that everything I say is the word of the Lord. And yet, that's why, I don't know if you do this when you're preaching, but I will always say, I mean, I always use the Bible, but I will always say, Paul said so-and-so, or David said so-and-so, or it's like Solomon said, whatever. Because when you keep saying God said, God said, God said, then you can manipulate people with it. And you say, well, yeah, I mean, God speaks through me, but I don't think everything that comes out of my mouth is the word of God. And that's why we have to have this defining thing that causes us to be able to rightly divide it, to be able to say, all right, that is spirit and that is flesh, that is letter, that is spirit.
I disagree. Everything that comes out of your mouth is the word of God.
All right, explain it, that.
Because you are the God, you're the source. Everything that you say, even the things that are disagreeable, if you say something I disagree with, to you, it's the word of God. It's still creative. It's still going to produce maybe negative results, maybe positive results. It's still out there. You can never call it back. Words are forever. That energy is released from you, and everything you say is the word of God. Everything I say is the word. I agree with you, really, but just a little twist on it. Everything you say is the word of God. I love the part of the scripture that says everything's inspired. Everything. If I were ever write a book, the first sentence is going to say everything you read here is inspired and came from God, because that's going to hook the Christians. Because you want, well, they'll actually call me a heretic, I guess, but it'll actually be true, because the God source energy, as I see God, lives in me. And if I didn't hear God say these things, I wouldn't write it. It wouldn't be my opinion if God weren't saying it to me, through me. So just a little twist on that. Good. So speak, Lord, speak.
All right. And on that note, what?
No.
And on that note, we'll put a comma right there. And thank you so much for being with us on In the Now with Jim Swilley. We'll see you next time. Thanks.